The fifth commandment reads, "You shall honor your father and your mother, that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you." The explanation of the fifth commandment found in Lord's Day 39 is this. What is God's will for us in the fifth commandment? That I honor, love, and be loyal to my father and mother and all those in authority over me, that I obey and submit to them as is proper when they correct and punish me, and also that I be patient with their failings, for through them God chooses to rule us. The fifth commandment, revealed to us in the sacred scriptures, revealed in our hearts, expounded in the creeds of the church, is something as important as the will of God, is that which we now consider as we would preach the gospel of the fifth commandment. It is important that we do this, and it is important because it's a commandment of God, of course. Many people think that because we're Christians, we don't need to know the law of God, but we do. It's a way of gratitude. It's a way of teaching us sin. It's a way that God has given mightily to show his own holiness and our unholiness. And so we need to hear the fifth commandment. And there's one special reason why the fifth commandment is so important. It is what has been called a transition commandment between the first table of the law, having to do with our duties to God. Have no other gods before me, take not his name in vain, and so on, make no graven images, and keep the Sabbath day holy. There's the second table of the law, has to do with our obedience to God in loving our neighbor. So don't kill, don't steal, don't fornicate with a neighbor, don't covet the neighbor's stuff, don't drag his name through the mud. Honor your father and your mother, it's right in the middle of those, as an important commandment, the keeping of which we show that we honor God, who has given us the authorities of parents and of all that be, and also that we are beginning to understand what it is to love the neighbor. So right in the middle of the first table, dealing with God, our obedience to God, and the second, our obedience to the neighbor, or our love to the neighbor, is this honoring commandment, honoring parents, first of all, and all that are in authority. We want to consider this in light of 1 Peter chapter 2, to which we now would turn, 1 Peter chapter 2, and verses 9 to the end of the chapter. 1 Peter chapter 2 is one of the grand, the outstanding chapters of the New Testament, along with Romans 13, that has to deal with our understanding and submitting to the authorities that God has ordained in this world. Not the least of which is the parents. In fact, the parents are the first authorities, but this also includes those such as Caesars and Governor Whitmers. We need to understand this. We need to apply this in our world, in our life. And it's very real, isn't it, to us in these troublesome times. So 1 Peter chapter 2, hear the word of God, of God who has given us a great gospel and also a way to show our obedience and love of him. 1 Peter 2, 9. "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation." Now, the next verses are the ones on which I would especially focus in this sermon. "Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable, if because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For ye were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Thus far we read the Word of God, and this to be a help and a guide and great principles here of the truth of the fifth commandment and of our obedience to that fifth commandment. Want to consider the fifth commandment of honoring parents and honoring the supreme emperors and the governors and everyone in authority under the theme called to commendable submission. And want to consider this from three points. First of all, those authorities and ultimately God, the supreme authority, who is the authority to save us. And as well, we want to consider what it is to submit and what it is to obey the authorities. And then finally, that we need grace to do this. There needs to be a working in our heart. There needs to be a working in homes so that the principles and practices of authority and submission to them may be learned early on. If they're not learned, if there's a society full of broken homes like ours, there never will be, except for the grace of God, any return to an understanding and submission to biblical authority. I do want to emphasize a couple of more things, sort of by way of an introduction, but as part of the whole sermon here. 1 Peter 2 is God speaking to remind us who we are. If you look at verses 9 and following, really, the people of God who are believers, in distinction from the Jewish unbelievers, are said to be that nation now, the holy nation under God. We are the chosen generation, the royal priesthood, a holy nation. That was said of the Jews in the Old Testament. But now it's us who believe, who are given the grace to believe, God's elect from every nation, now are a new nation. Now with this is a great, great calling to serve God, great salvation, a great and wonderful position to be the people of God in this world, so that this world isn't our home. We're pilgrims and strangers in this world. We're moving on. But I want to suggest to you that a very strong case could be made for the fact that Peter, when he brings up now and begs now, under the inspiration of the Spirit, that the people of God would submit to the authorities, is saying, don't think that just because you are now the supreme nation and that you are a people of God, that you ride on the clouds of heaven, as it were, in glory, don't think for a minute that you don't have a calling with regard to the authorities on earth. You do, he says. Submit, he says, to those authorities, whether it's to Caesar or to the governor or to your parents. And in fact, all the more, because if you are this nation, if you are this people, in good times and in bad, you will witness of Jesus Christ, who himself submitted to the authority of God and to the authorities for our salvation. You'll be an outstanding light of the way that God has saved people by humbling himself in the person of his Son, by suffering humiliation at the hands of wicked tyrants, but doing this, he saved us. And so there's something here of the witness of the people of God, and something here in the time of a coronavirus, and when everyone's panicking, and the governors and the presidents, and they don't know what they're doing, we are to call the people to an account of the God who is supreme over all, and the God who is supreme over all for the salvation of many. And so that's a motive for us. I want us to hear clearly then and personally what God is saying to us. Now, number one, what he says in the fifth commandment with regard to authorities and submitting to them and obeying is that he is God. That's what he's doing. That's what he's doing in all the commandments. Remember, children, it's a revelation of God. Every commandment of God. I am God, have no other gods before me. Obviously, he's saying I'm God. Don't have graven images. Don't try to get to God by another way than he's ordained. He's spirit. You cannot do it. Don't take his name in vain. He's God. All these things. Now, with regard to the fifth commandment, when it seems to be a turning, and we're going to be talking about how we should listen to God and love the neighbor, nevertheless, there's revelation here of God. Honor the authorities. Why? Because God has put them to represent himself. That's what the fifth commandment teaches. God is God over all, and yet he has representatives, special dignitaries in the land, beginning with parents, who are to remind us all that God is God, submit to him. Now, that God is God and King and over all hardly needs to be said in this congregation, this knowledgeable congregation, but I would just refer to one verse. Psalm 103, that was their call to worship. We read this in verse 19. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Now, that should settle it. Old and New Testament reminds us that God is king. But the fact is, God has kings under himself. He has governors under himself. He has mayors under himself. And he has parents, and he has teachers, and he has business owners, and he has elders in the church, and pastors, and deacons, inasmuch as they have the authority to represent Christ in his mercies, all to represent himself, and we are to submit to them as unto God. Actually, this idea, this principle, this basic truth of God and his way, also in the fifth commandment with regard to his authority, is brought out in the very next verses of Psalm 103. We just read, the Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. But then we read of other dignitaries. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of his, who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. There seems to be an allusion here to representatives and messengers, angels of God, who in their place, whether in heaven or on earth, are representatives of God. And this is the idea of our submission to authorities. God is over all. He's supreme. He's over good and evil. He's over all the high and the mighty and the lowly. He is over all. But it has pleased him to represent himself and to rule himself, to rule through the authorities that he has set up. This is especially the idea of Romans chapter 13, which I said was another outstanding passage of the New Testament speaking of the authorities that be. Romans 13. I'll read some verses here. You can follow along in your Bible if you want. And also, and especially, this is what you must do, Listen to what God says. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there's no authority, no position of might and right, except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. And resistance here is the opposite of the submission to which we're called in 1 Peter 2, of which we'll speak presently. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For they are God's ministers, attending continually to this very thing. Render, therefore, to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. But now go to 1 Peter chapter 2, the text which will be our perspective for the rest of the sermon. The sojourners of God, which are a traveling nation, we're traveling through on our way to heaven, are to submit to all of the authorities. And this, so that they may be outstanding witnesses, having conduct honorable among the Gentiles. Verse 13, therefore submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. A couple of things about this. First of all, the calling here is to submit ourselves to every ordinance of man. Now, the word there for ordinance is a rather difficult word to translate, except its basic meaning, thesis, is creation. The idea seems to be, and certainly is involved in this by implication and because of the rest of Scripture, that there is among men something created with which we have to do and even to which we must submit. Now, this is a creation of God, and we have to understand this. Everywhere in the New Testament, that word thesis is used to remind us that God creates things. And so here, in the context, the ordinances or creations of God, which apply to magistrates and mayors and supreme authorities and so on, are creations of God. It's not speaking directly to every law that they make, but it's speaking to a position that they have, an institution, specifically of the government, which is God's creation. That's the weight of this. Romans 13 reminds us, every power that be exists from God. And if you're resisting the power, you're resisting God. As God's people here in 1 Peter 2, we must submit to the emperor as supreme and to the governor and so on as those representatives of God. They're those whom God has put and created to be in a position whereby they may deal with the affairs of men. God will deal with the affairs of men. That's the idea of this being ordinance of man. It's a human ordinance. It has to do, this creation of authorities and institutions like government and the home and the church, has to do with God ruling through them. And this is the essence of the fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother. because God has given many authorities in all of the land to show that he is in control of everything. So he's given parents, the first ones. And note, the commandment and the catechism's explanation of the commandment even, I believe, doesn't say we are to love our parents. It says we are to honor our parents. And that's the first thing, because they are the authorities, the representative of God. You don't have to love the governor or love the president. You must honor them, first of all. Respect them. There's something here of reverence that's called to all of us with regard to these dignitaries. And this is so important and so different than what we're seeing, isn't it, in this world today. People have no concept of authority. They have no concept of the rule of law, not only, but of the rule of God through the law and through the powers that be. And so it's nigh unto chaos. And they're defunding, they're calling for defunding the police and anarchy and whatever else, and it's all a mess. Everything that God has set up in this world that is called an authority is his authority. Now that's striking, because Peter, was referring, when referring to the king as supreme, most likely to Nero. Nero was the one under whom many, many Christians perished. They were lit up as torches in his parties to make fun of the Christian religion and the God they confessed to be God in Christ Jesus over against Caesar, who claimed divinity. To this Caesar, Nero, there was to be subjection. This Nero, for all of his wickedness, and he was vile, was to be subjected to by us, and especially by Christians, that we may be an outstanding witness of the God who is God, even through Nero. This is amazing, and this applies, therefore, to all authorities. If this is the worst kinds of authority, who's not a godly man, who's not a Christian by any means, who persecutes the Christians, and we must submit to him, well then, any other authority, that should be easy, no problem, right? Submit to that authority. Like parents, they love you, don't they? But they're not always nice to you. They don't always give you what you want, and they may even spank you and so on. But you are to listen to them and to honor them as honoring God. And this is what we must teach them from very early on. Because, after all, children don't learn how to sin. They are sinners. And then they learn how to sin. But that comes naturally. And all of their cries are not cries simply because of need, but many of them are cries of protest. We don't like the way we're being dealt with and so on. So you have that in the home. Very, very fundamental. You have representatives of the home and school teachers. If they're outside of the home, they are to be respected on behalf of mom and dad whom they represent. You have leaders in society here emphasized. But notice how Peter goes on and speaks of servants in the verses following, verses 13 and 14, servants being submissive to masters. Now, the servants in those days were like unto slaves. Maybe they weren't like unto slaves that we know of in the last couple of centuries, and they might not have been so brutal, but slavery and being a master of slaves was a way of life in the Roman Empire. We're told that there were some 60 million slaves in that time among the subjugated nations of the Roman armies. And so this was real, and also real for Christians. And maybe Paul is, and certainly Peter is speaking here of servant-slave Christians. They were to be submissive to their master, and not only to the good and gentle, he says, but also to the harsh, to those who whipped, to those who said, work harder, to those who said, I'm not going to give you the resources to work harder like Pharaoh did to the Egyptian, to the Israelites in Egypt, to the harsh, and on Peter would go. But then, of course, in chapter 3, he brings up wives being in subjection to their husbands and so on. And you have all of this authorities that be in the world that are so important for us to recognize. Before I get into the next point, I want to say that the gospel of this is found especially in the last part of the text where it's said that we are to be imitators of Jesus, the last part of this chapter, and we're called to be those who endure suffering even at the hands of authorities and to take it patiently because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example to follow in his steps and so on. When he was reviled, he didn't revile. He dealt with the authorities as those under, as one under the authority of God. Now this is startling. This is the gospel, the entire gospel of the fifth commandment. Our God overall, who's given authorities that be to represent him, has himself in the person of Jesus come under the authority of the authorities and come and taken upon himself the yoke of God, as it were, though he's co-equal with God, that he might do one thing, show the way out of this mess and out of the chaos and out of the pandemic of sin and out of the roiling, bubbling mass of humanity to be with God. It's that way. Jesus takes on himself this humble nature to take on our sins and to show how great is his wisdom, how great is God's righteousness, how great is God's love for sinners. He would do the impossible thing. He himself, who's king, would be a servant. He himself is pure, would dwell among sinners. And this is at the back, at the basis, at the foot, the foundation of our relatively easy submission to the authorities that be. Jesus came. Jesus submitted to the authorities, to the cross, to Pilate, to Herod, to Caesar. Jesus submitted to God, whose will was perish at my hand under my wrath for the sake of my will and my people. He did that. Not a peep. No reviling. No, but. He submitted. And that's what we're called to do. So that in all this world, when people think Mike makes right, and they did me wrong, and my life matters, and my clan's life matters most, Jesus was saying, no, nobody matters but God. God matters. God's right matters. God's authority matters. So we submit. We submit. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man, to every instituted authority of God. Yeah. I want to say right away, so that maybe it will be easier for us to listen to the rest of it. Submit doesn't mean obey. It's not the same. Submit is an attitude. The Greek word simply means put yourself under. Place yourself in a position or recognize that you're in a position where you're to yield to the authorities. Have an attitude of respect for those over you. It's the same thing in the home, same thing in the shop, same thing in the classroom, and in society, and in the church. Submission, it's an attitude thing. Very, very important. Humility, meekness, this is what is required in the fifth commandment. Honor, be humble before, submit to. Now, usually, that takes the form of obedience, strict obedience. Mom says, come, you come. You're playing in the sandbox, you're playing out in the woods. Mom says, come. And then she doesn't say, one, two, three. You come now when she comes, when she says. And so on. We understand that. But obedience is something that sometimes we may not show to authorities in every case. For example, and actually not for example, but here's the one case. When they would tell you to do something that's contrary to the law of God, which would make you sin. So we read in Acts chapter 5 and verses 28 and 29, the high priest, who was the authority in that age, saying to Peter and to John, did we not strictly command you not to teach in his name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us, Jesus' blood. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. And that verse is outstanding, reminding us of here's the one way in which we may not thoroughly submit to the ordinances of men. It's when they would call us to obey their ordinance and to sin against God. God says, preach the word, and they say, don't. You say, I listen to God and not to you. But the fact is, though, we still submit. Notice here, even as there's no exception to the authorities that are of God, every authority that is of God, so also there's no exception to the submission part, the attitude part, the respect part. Submit yourself to every ordinance of men. That's what Peter says, and that's the same thing as Paul. Submit yourselves to every ordinance, every authority of God that's in your life, in his jurisdiction or hers or theirs. Submit yourselves. No exception. No exception to this attitude when it says, here's what you pay. Here's the taxes you pay every April 15th. No exception to this attitude when there's a stay-at-home law. No exception to this attitude when they say, here is the law, there must be social distancing in public gatherings and so on. And all of the other things that have burdened us all in the last months. There's no exception to the submission here. You might try to fudge around it and find some escape hole here, but there is none. There simply is none to the calling to submit. And it's a calling. To this you're called, they say. To this you're called because Christ also suffered and he himself didn't try to get out of the submission part. So very important. In fact, the submission that we have is so important. The reason why we are to submit is simply because we would show everyone that we are under God. That's what Peter's doing here. You're to be outstanding witnesses that you understand the way of God, the way of the cross and Jesus submitting, the way of his providential rule and government, his ruling over even evil men. You're witnesses of God when you recognize that and you come under the yoke and you say, it's okay. In fact, it's not only okay, it's something divine on the earth. And we need to remember those things that are divine on the earth, lest we forget the God of heaven and earth. So important that we be this theological, Christological people, this people who's not in it for themselves. It's not about our rights and that we matter, but it's all because of God. Even when it hurts, even when they say, well, do this and do that and the other thing. And I just would remind you, we do this all the time. Submit, and we're just going to stick here for a while with the governors and so on, and the mayor and the president. We submit to God's rule through them every time we obey a law, every time we don't speed, every time we don't shoplift. Well, that's God's law, but these particular laws that affect us as human beings in society, we do that all the time. It's only when it's hardest, when they threaten our livelihood and so on, and it's been hard, that we chafe at this, don't we? We find it very, very difficult, not only not to obey, but to submit. That's hard, especially when, you know, the lady's an abortionist and everything else, and it's all bad and so on. Remember, God is good. That's what we need to remember. Remember that. And when we do this willingly and cheerfully, and not because, oh, we're going to just grumble about it and we're going to wait till they count to three or they wait till they catch us. When we're being positively submissive here, we show that not only don't we have anything to lose, but we have everything to gain. You see, Peter has just reminded the people, and we need to be reminded, that we are God's people. We are the holy nation. We are out from under the yoke of bondage. We are not a slave to people. And even if they would enslave us with chains, and they would keep us from work, they'd haul us off to prison, that's not going to affect our life with God, our fellowship with Jesus, our being exalted to be God's people, risen with Christ to the right hand of God. Martin Luther himself would say that the Christian is a perfectly free lord of all, subject to no one. He'd say that. And then in his own inimitable way, Luther would say, right after that, a Christian is a perfectly dutiful servant of all, subject to all. A Christian is a perfectly free lord of all, subject to none. A Christian is a perfectly dutiful servant of all, subject to all. I wonder if Luther was alluding to this, that we are to be those who submit to ourselves to every ordinance of God, for this is the will of God, that by doing good you may silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, verse 16, as free, not Democrat, Republican freedom, not constitutional liberties, but as free men of God and citizens of the kingdom of heaven. We're free, but not using liberty as a cloak for vice and rebellion and posturing and threatening and a complete lack of submission to the authorities. That's what Peter's getting at, first century AD. 20 centuries later, for such a time as this, we need to hear this. Honor the authorities. When you think of it, we do this even in a broader sense than anyone else. We honor everything God does. For example, all of his providences, what God sends, that's the will of God, isn't it? We believe that God is the God of providence. He's not only the God of authorities, but he represents himself in providence. He gives you parents, children, and step-parents, and they're yours. Submit to them. You're called to. It's a calling. And he gives sometimes hard things in life. Submit to those hard things. That is, to God through the things. Not saying that if your boss is a tyrant, you can't leave the job for another more hospitable place of work and so on. Hence, not saying, of course, that you don't go to the doctor and you know, to try to fix the disease, but this submission thing, this understanding that God is in these providences as well. This is some way that we have to reckon with the fact that God is the authority of all the things, good and bad. Out of all the crooks in our lot, God is the one who has the stick. He's the one who's sovereign. He's the one who's the great physician who would teach us, even in sometimes limiting our physical capacities and our strength and so on, whether we're old or whether we're younger, because he's God and he loves us. And he says, I am God. Submit to my authority in this thing of life. I'll even go further. Not only does God represent himself in nobility and kings and so on, and people have bodyguards. Not only does he represent himself in all of his providences, but also in all persons. And to all persons, hear this, to all persons, therefore, we should submit and honor. Note what Peter says, honor all. That's what he's saying. Honor all, not just the authorities, but honor all. Verse 17. Love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king, honor all. What does that mean? Honor every person that comes in your life. Respect them. And you see, not because they have authority over you in the sense that they have clout and they represent God more than you, but in the sense that you understand that submitting to God is such the case that your ego is no longer involved. You don't matter, but every other person does in your life. Jesus would say that. If you would be first in the kingdom, be last. If you would be honoring to God, it's not about you, it's not about your rights, it's not about the fact that they've inconvenienced you, it's not about the fact that they're smelly and they walk by, and I don't want to be in their company. It's about this. These people in your life, and I'm not talking ducks and fish and so on, I'm talking people, are those made in the image of God to represent God in very special ways in this earth. And so, yes, we honor God in caring for babies and not killing babies. Yes, we honor God in caring for those who don't give a snap for the gospel. We honor them. We esteem them more highly than ourselves. It's not about me versus them, it's about God. Much could be said on that. I will leave that for now. These are reasons. These are relationships that we want to cultivate, and this is impossible. My final point. This is impossible. I'm not going to say go home and amen, but it is impossible. In ourselves. And it's impossible, beloved, that in this society there's going to be any hope for change. It gets worse, and it gets worse, and it gets worse. First, there's a disease affecting the whole world, infecting so many. And it seems like a perfect storm. You don't even know if you have the disease. And everybody's now at, you know, unease. We're not happy. We just don't know what's going on. And so the elders have decided at different churches we better listen to the CDC or whoever else is giving us what they think is, they say is scientific advice about these things, and we'll go along with this for a while. And now everybody's story is changing and everything's different, and then there's police brutality, allegedly, and it seems to be the case. And now people have these other things that they're protesting about in the midst of this crisis. Then there's another crisis, and then there's people siding over here and people siding over there, and everybody, it seems, siding against the police and against the president and against this person and against that person and taking matters and justice into their own hands. Now, beloved, why are people doing this? Why? It's exactly because they don't respect the authority of God in his providences, in his dignitaries, in anything. And they've never learned it either. They should. But their homes, where they should learn to honor mom and dad, are no homes anymore. 75% of this ethnicity and 50% of that and 25% of that, people are raised by a single mom. And the government has promoted illicit marriage. Yes? The government, by its handouts, it says, Mom, you marry the government. That's your husband. We'll take care of you. And they learn no respect. They learn just, give me, give me, give me, and I have it coming to me. And so, yeah. No hope. Except in Jesus. And that's where you come in and where I come in. Under the authority of God, thankful for this wonderful people that He's made us to be, for forgiveness of sins, for the establishment of His righteousness. Honor God, beloved. It's your calling. It's commendable to suffer even for this. And the time is coming. We will suffer. You think this is hard. You think this is difficult. Wait until the Antichrist, when the authorities, the be, and the church itself, that is, the apostate church, will unite. And they will have all the cloud of religion and of sword. And if possible, give the people of God to bear the mark of the beast, 666, the number of man, to be ungodly and worldly. And so when the Antichrist comes, to bow to him and to submit not only, but to obey him, even when they say, there is no God. Beloved, for such a time as this, be outstanding, keepers of the fifth commandment, lovers of God, lovers of the neighbor, lovers of the authorities that be, lovers of God's way for you, lovers of Jesus, preachers and hearers and doers. God love you. God bless you. Amen. Our Father, we pray that you would bless us, give us to submit to your authority in all the world. Give us, Lord, to be happy in this and humble and full of hope, because you've graced us and you've graced our homes and you've graced our church and you grace your people in all the world. If we stand out in the midst of the clamor and the protest and the violence and the looting, in the midst of a pandemic, may we speak, Lord, and do the things that become a Christian for whom Jesus has died and for whom he's risen and coming again. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.